So Lord, would help me this morning and grant you prayerful attention. I desire to direct you for a moment to a text you'll find in the chapter we read together, the Lamentations of Jeremiah, the first chapter, reading again at verse 12. The Lamentations of Jeremiah, the first chapter, and reading again at verse 12. Is it nothing to you, or ye that pass by? Behold, and see if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow, which is done unto me, wherewith the Lord hath afflicted me in the day of his fierce anger. Is it nothing to you, or ye that pass by? Behold, and see if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow, which is done unto me, wherewith the Lord hath afflicted me in the day of his fierce anger. We must be faithful, friends, to the context in coming to these words this morning. These are not the words of Jesus Christ, and neither should we put them in the mouth of Jesus Christ. I know the Messiah handles Messiah does, and they are often quoted by the Lord's servants and by devotional writers as being words of Jesus Christ. Is it nothing to ye all that pass by? Behold, and see if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow. But, friends, in one sense, these words are entirely foreign to Jesus Christ. Because, as we have read together in Isaiah 53, he was led as a lamb to the slaughter. And as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. There was no self-pity upon the cross. Jesus Christ never drew attention to his sufferings. He never asked people to look upon his sufferings, and he certainly never asked this question, whether there was ever sorrow like unto his sorrow. Quite the contrary. He told the daughters of Jerusalem to weep for themselves and not to weep for him, as he was found bearing his cross unto Golgotha. Oh, the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ was never found questioning that which he was under. His will was in perfect obedience to the will of his Father. He came not to do his own will, but the will of his Father. And what was that will? That God sent his own dear Son into this world to suffer and to bleed and to die. And he said, "Lo, I come," in the volume of the book, "it is written of me to do thy will, O God." It was his delight. The zeal for God's house and for his work had eaten him up. Never was he found saying, "Behold, and see if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow, which is done unto me." Though, friends, he may, in one sense, have justly said so. Because there has never been sorrow like unto his sorrow. And that is the point that we would like to come to this morning. But as he was under the hand of his Father, there was never any murmuring, never any repining, never any turning back. Though a son, yet learned the obedience. Oh, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even to the death of the cross. Oh, friends, his sorrows, none can get to the end of. We must not put these words in the mouth of Jesus Christ. They are the words of Zion. They are the words of Zion as Zion is afflicted and under the just anger of their God. Oh, they are the words of a backsliding people who have been brought to book. They are the words of a child under the chastening hand of their gracious Father. Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? Oh, friends, this the Lamentations of Jeremiah, and as we said, over the past few weeks, these minor prophets, the major prophets too, they have much to speak to us in our present situation. The Lord's judgment is upon us. Oh, the graphic picture that we have of our causes of truth this morning, the beauty from the daughter of Zion, all her beauty is departed. The ways of Zion do mourn because none come to the solemn feast. All her gates are desolate. Her priests sigh, her virgins are afflicted, and she is in bitterness. Oh, you may say to me, it's not because we don't want to come. Oh, friends, it was just the case in the days of Jeremiah. There were some, remember, that went down into captivity, such as Daniel, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. They would have desired to have kept the solemn feast, but they could not. Oh, they were barred from returning unto the courts of the Lord. The courts of the Lord had been pulled down by the invading army. Jerusalem and the temple lay in ruins. It was not because there were not those that did not want to worship, but they could not worship. Just friends, I trust that we are found this morning. Those that would desire to be in the Lord's house today, but they cannot be. They cannot be. The ways of Zion do mourn because none come to the solemn feast. All her gates are desolate. Her priests sigh. Her virgins are afflicted. And she is in bitterness. Why? Why? Well, our text tells us why. Because the Lord hath afflicted us in the day of his fierce anger. Oh, well may we say to those that pass by, and friends, well may I say to you this morning and to my own soul, is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? Are these things sitting lightly upon our shoulders this morning? Are they of little concern to us? Oh, that we cannot gather in the Lord's house. The judgments of God, are we just counting them as something that will pass, the course of nature? And at last they will be turned away and we will return to normal. Oh, is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? You know, friends, if it is something to us that pass by, then we will have a realization of why these things have come upon us, because of our sin. Oh, the sorrow of the Lord's people at this time, the time when Jeremiah was prophesying, was this. Oh, these things had come upon them in the righteous justice of God. They were deserved. They were self-procured. Self-procured. Oh, as the church has to come and say, is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? Behold, and see if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow. Oh, friends, what was the sorrow of Zion? What was the sorrow of those who lamented for Zion? Ah, true, not all within Zion in the days of Jeremiah lamented with Jeremiah. There were those that prophesied smooth things. Those that looked only for the light and the joyful things. But there were those who joined with Jeremiah to lament. Oh, they sorrowed. Why did they sorrow? What brought them to sorrow? Well, friends, the first thing that brought them to sorrow was their sin. This judgment was on account of their sin. Their sin. And it'll be a solemn thing if the judgment we are under at the moment does not bring us in repentance to the throne of grace because of our sin, personal, within the churches and nationally and throughout the world. We have sinned. We have sinned. Oh, friends, we must realise that this one whom we adore, whom we worship this morning, he is a gracious Father. He doth not afflict willingly. He doth not afflict willingly. He delighteth in mercy, as the prophet Micah tells us. Oh, and therefore, if his rod goes out upon us, it goes out upon us justly. It goes out upon us with the same wrenching that is found in the heart of everyone that has to use discipline. Oh, it goes out in love, that the child might be corrected. In love, that the child might be a proper child. And yet, friends, it goes out in righteousness, according to the commandment, according to what has been spoken unto the disobedient one. Oh, the righteous judgments, the righteous loving chastisement of our Heavenly Father, it is always righteous. It is against sin. Oh, the day of his fierce anger. Do you realise that this morning, friends? Or have you got any knowledge of yourself as a sinner before the throne of grace? Are you a sinner before the throne of grace? Or are you a sinner still dead in trespasses and sins, delighting in the ways of sin? Are you saying this morning, well, I will not give those things up yet? Oh, friends, what a solemn thing it is sometimes, even when the rod goes out against us. We would make, as it were, a value analysis to whether we would prefer to give up our sins and return unto the Lord, or whether we can sit out the affliction that he has put us under. Oh, what solemn creatures we are left to ourselves. Is it nothing to you? Oh, friends, this question comes very close, doesn't it? Is it nothing to you? Is it nothing to you? Are we passing by the judgments of God? Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? Oh, these judgments, they don't only speak to us of our sin, but they speak to us of the one that is judging us. They set before us that he is holy, that he cannot look upon sin with any degree of lenience. Oh, friends, think not that God will just pardon your sins. Think not that he will just pass by your sins. Ah, friends, he cannot because he is a holy God and a righteous God. God never just forgives sins. He never says, let bygones be bygones. No, Oh, every sin has a charge set upon it. The wages of sin is death. There is only one way that God could forgive sin, and that was by sending his own dear Son into this world to pay in full the price that was due unto our sins. And therefore, oh, if we have any hope of forgiveness this morning, what our sins has cost him. In his love, what he cost him. He spared not his own dear Son, but freely gave him up for us all. Oh, the holiness of God against sin, his righteousness. Oh, friends, he warned the children of Israel. He set before them curses and blessings. In the Deuteronomy, as he led them through the wilderness and told them of the land he was bringing them in. Oh, he told them that if they walked in his ways, he would pour out his blessing upon them. They would be the most blessed people in all the earth. But if they departed from his ways, he would pour out upon them his heavy judgments. They heard. And what a course they chose. But there is no unrighteousness with him. As he said, so he did. They tell us something of the righteousness of God. But then, friends, oh, as we view them from within, under the rod, as we are found amongst the Lord's people who have to lay these things to heart, they tell us something of the love and the mercy of God. Oh, that he does take us really to be his children, his sons and daughters. And therefore, friends, he will chastise us, not in anger, but in his dear covenant love. Oh, I say to you this morning, the state of Zion, is it nothing to you? Oh, does it mean this to you? A token of sonship. Bastards may escape the rod, sunk in earthly vain delight, but the true-born child of God would not, or cannot if he might. Oh, friends, what a precious mark it is of sonship when the Lord visits our iniquities with the rod. Oh, but we prove the lash he steeped is on us laid and softened in his blood, not in anger, but in his dear covenant love. Who is a God like unto thee, that passeth by the transgressions of the remnant of his heritage, remembereth their sins and iniquities no more? Oh, for he delighteth in mercy. Is it nothing to you, or ye that pass by? But friends, the words I really wanted to come to, what follows this question, behold and see if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow, which is done unto me, wherewith the Lord hath afflicted me in the day of his fierce anger. Oh, Zion here, sitting down in a somewhat peevish state under the judgments of the Lord. Oh, they cry out almost as though they are hard done by. Oh, they cry out unto those that surround them and say, ah, see, if any be afflicted like unto the Lord's people, if any be afflicted like unto those that the Lord puts his chastening hand upon. And oh, friends, in one sense, none are afflicted like unto them. None are afflicted like unto them. Why? Because he may fill up the cup of wrath for the wicked. The wicked may go unchecked in their ways. Oh, but the Lord's people have to prove that when they are, he'll visit our iniquities with the rod. Oh, friends, here he deals with us as children. Here he corrects us. And the Lord's people may therefore have to prove, as they pass through their wilderness journey here below, according to their waywardness, they will know much, oh, much of the chastening hand of God. And in that sense, friends, the sorrow of the Lord's people is greater than the sorrow of the world. Asaph saw it, didn't he? No bounds in their death. Oh, when he looked upon the Lord's people, they always seemed to be troubled, emptied from vessel to vessel, not allowed to settle down on their knees, not left to themselves for a moment, whilst the worldling seemed to go on, sunk in earthly vain delight, no trouble. Oh, and as Asaph said, as the Lord people say here, behold and see if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow. But friends, in another sense, the Church of God has to say, and see if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow. Oh, because when the Lord's people are found in this place truly, oh, when their sorrow really means something to them, and then they have to come to prove that they have sinned against a gracious God. Oh, they have sinned against their gracious Saviour. The soldier pierced his side, 'tis true, but we have pierced him through and through. Oh, the grief that the Lord's people feel when they are brought to their senses. Ah, as the prodigal son, when he was brought to his senses, what compounded his grief? Oh, friends, that his father had been gracious unto him. The father had not dealt hardly with him. The father had dealt with him according to his desires. He'd been a gracious father unto him, but he had wronged him. He had wronged him. Oh, and as we are convinced of our backslidings against the Lord, as we are convinced of our sins, as he puts his chastening rod upon us, oh, we have to come like David, against thee, the only have I sinned and done this iniquity in thy sight. Oh, friends, then in one sense other people don't matter. It's against the gracious hand of our merciful and loving Heavenly Father, and against, oh, the precious blood of our elder brother, the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, that we have sinned. Oh, as we read, the Lord looked upon Peter and he went out and he wept bitterly. Oh, that is the bitterness of the Lord's people. Behold and see if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow. Oh, as the Lord visits his children with the rod, and as they have to say, ah, Lord, thou art righteous. As they have to own the judgment just on account of their sins, their base backslidings are from their gracious Saviour. Oh, they may say and see if there ever be any sorrow like unto my sorrow. But what I really want to come to, friends, is this. Oh, the answer to this question. And the answer to the Lord's people, if we are found this morning peevish under the mighty hand of God in the way in which he is leading us at this time. Oh, if we are saying, behold and see if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow, which is done unto me, wherewith the Lord hath afflicted me in the day of his fierce anger. The answer is yes. Oh, in capital letters, underlined and in bold. Oh, there is sorrow greater than any sorrow we will ever know. Oh, there is sorrow which we will never fully taste of because of the one who has drunk up that cup right up for us. And we read of that one in Isaiah 53. Oh, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. The Lord of life and glory. Oh, the second person in the Trinity. God the Son, eternal, co-equal, equal in glory, majesty, power and dominion, with the Father and with the Holy Ghost. Though he was rich beyond all splendour. Oh, for love's sake became he man. He came into this world and entered into this, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. The Apostle says, consider him. Who suffered such contradiction of sinners against himself? Oh, friends, there is his grief, there is his sorrow, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. And as the Lord would help me now, that is what I wish to come and to try to do for a little while. Oh, to consider him. In answer to this question, behold and see if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow. Yes. Ah, friends, magnified. Oh, beyond our comprehension, his sorrows. Oh, his way was much darker and rougher than mine. Did my Lord suffer? Shall I repine? What a solemn thing if we can consider the sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ and still come and say peevishly with Zion in our text, behold, and see if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow, which is done unto me wherewith the Lord hath afflicted me in the day of his fierce anger. Did Christ my Lord suffer, and shall I repine? Oh, but friends, when we come to consider the sorrows of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, where do they begin? They begin in these two words, Amen! Amen of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Oh, friends, that was where his sorrow began, if I may put it that way. Oh, that was where his humiliation began. Oh, glorious humiliation, friends, it was glorious. Oh, a glorious thing, a mystery which the angels desire to look into, which they cannot comprehend. Oh, the He who was co-equal with God, who was God, the Word was God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. But the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Oh, though He were equal with God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Yet he humbled himself, made himself of no reputation. Oh, friends, a mystery, a matchless mystery, that God, my God, should be contracted to a span. Oh, should become a babe at Bethlehem, a man of sorrows. Oh, a true man. Oh, friends, he must be a true man. He must take unto himself a true humanity, as we are yet without sin, made in all points like as we are yet without sin. Oh, friends, without his true humanity and his reasonable soul, he could not be a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. But it was as he took that human nature into union with his divine person, or he became a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And his sorrows began as he was contracted to a span and born in a manger of Bethlehem. Oh, was ever a birth like his? Oh, it magnifies, doesn't it, the meaning of that word. With the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, ever our sorrows, he became poor. He became poor. Born in a manger at Bethlehem, because there was no room for him in the inn. For guests of various sorts had room, but none for him. A man of sorrows and acquainted with griefs. If Jerusalem in the Lamentations 1 had to mourn because of the depth of their fall. Jerusalem, the golden, Jerusalem, which was once that great city under Solomon. They paid taxes unto Jerusalem. Jerusalem was glorious in the sight of all the Lord's enemies round about. Now diminished and brought low, the heathen cried out, where is now their God? Oh, friends, if that was Sodom, unto Jerusalem in being brought down to nothing from the glory they had been, a man of sorrows. Oh, he was rich beyond all splendour. Oh, the eternal Son of God, daily with the Father, his delights with the Son of Men. And yet he laid his glory by, came into this world and was born at Bethlehem, a man of sorrows, a man of sorrows. And why? That he might come to bear the sorrows of his people. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. And friends, he began bearing our griefs and carrying our sorrows as he came into this world. I am sure of that, friends. I've heard it said, and I once thought that it was again Gethsemane that the sins of his people were laid upon him. When we read, he became very sorrowful unto death. Oh, he wept, bled as it were great drops of blood, sweat as it were great drops of blood, fall into the ground. And the Lord sent an angel to strengthen him. But I become more and more convinced of this. He bore our sorrows and carried our griefs. Oh, friends, he was our sin bearer. From the moment he was conceived by the Holy Spirit in the womb of the Virgin Mary, oh, he bore our sins upon his shoulders. Our sin bearer. If you want to consider that point more closely, then I'd advise you to read George Smeaton, The Atonement According to Christ. You'll find in there he argues very strongly for that point of view. Oh, a man of sorrows. He was born in the manger of Bethlehem as he was made man. A man of sorrows and acquainted with griefs. But then, friends, we want to consider this, a man of sorrows. He came unto his own received him not. Oh, rejected and despised. Who hath believed our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? He shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Oh, friends, this is where his sorrows began, despised and rejected of men. Oh, friends, as he was rejected of men, as he was born into this world and they received him not as their king. Oh, he was born the King of the Jews according to the prophecies of all the Old Testament. They knew them because when the kings came, the wise men came to inquire, where is he? That he's born the King of the Jews. Oh, they could tell him that he was to be born in Bethlehem, but they received him not. Oh, friends, that rejection of him went this far, that he was driven down to Egypt. that it might be fulfilled, that God should call his son out of Egypt. Oh, friends, not only rejected, but driven from the land of promise, among the heathen nation. Oh, as we are separated from the house of God today, scattered as it were by the Lord. Oh, friends, he became a partner of our grief. Far from the worship, the prescribed worship of the temple, there amongst the heathen people in Egypt, far from the house of God, which he must have loved, because wished ye not that I must be about my father's business. Despised and rejected of men. Oh, but friends, it wasn't only the Jews that rejected him, was it? It was his people, his own brethren, his own family. His brethren therefore said unto him, depart hence and go into Judea. Thy disciples also may see the works that thou doest. For there is no man that doeth anything in secret, and he himself seeketh to be known openly. If thou do these things, show thyself to the word, for neither did his brethren believe him. Oh, friends, his own family, they rejected him. They rejected him. In Mark we read this, and when his friends heard of it, they went out to lay hold upon him, for they said, he is beside himself. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, despised and rejected of men. Friends, his own people, his own family did not want anything to do with him. They despised him. They rejected him. They would rather cast him out of the house. Oh, despised and rejected of men. Despised and rejected of the very people that he was come to. His people, Israel. Friend, though not all Israel be of Israel, yet the Lord wept over them. Oh, a man of sorrows. He wept over Jerusalem and said, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem that killeth the prophets, how often would I have gathered you? As a hen gathereth her chicks under her wings. And you would not. And you would not. Oh, friends, that was a source of his sorrow. He was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. He stood before them as a saviour, able to save unto the uttermost all them that come unto God by him. He said, he that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. He stood and he cried with a loud voice before every man in Israel at the Feast of Tabernacles, every man in Israel. And he said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Oh, but friends, what a solemn thing. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Rejected. Rejected. Oh, but friends, it comes close, doesn't it? It comes down to his dear disciples. Ah, friends, what a motley lot they are, and left to ourselves, what are we? What are we? Amongst them he had those who denied him. Peter denied him. Not just rejected by his family, not just rejected by the unbelieving Jews, but denied by one who said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Oh, he had amongst them one who doubted him, Thomas. Oh, when there were those that called him a liar, his own brethren, they believed him not. And as we also read in that seventh chapter of John, if I remember rightly, we read these words, that there was much murmuring among the people concerning him, for some said, he is a good man. Others said, nay, but he deceiveth the people. Oh, they called him a liar. They called him a liar. And his own disciples doubted him. They doubted him. Oh, friends, before him they were fools and slow of heart to believe. Ah, what a sin unbelief is. And yet how the Lord's people have to mourn. Oh, could I but believe, then all would easy be. But oh, friends, where does it bring you? Does it leave you in your doubt of him? Or does it bring you to him? To cry of him, Lord, give me more faith. Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. But lest you should think there were some disciples that were better than others, we read concerning them, they all forsook him and fled. They all forsook him and fled. He was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. They all forsook him and fled. Oh, they not only called him a liar, but it was murmured he was a glutton and a wine bibber. Oh, they imputed unto him terrible things. The people said that the power behind his miracles was the power of Beelzebub, that is to say, the power of the devil. Oh, friends, they called the Lord of life and glory none less than the devil. They called him a blasphemer. When he spake and said that his Father was in heaven, when he declared himself to be only what he was, the eternal Son of God, they called him a blasphemer, and upon that ground, they took him to the cross and they crucified him. Oh, because this man says that he is the Son of God. But he was. He was. Oh, despised and rejected, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. But it comes down to this, doesn't it? And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Oh, what a solemn thing to see those who met him as he came into Jerusalem riding upon an ass. They plucked palm trees from the ways and they cast them before him. They cried, Hosanna, Son of David. Hosanna in the highest, Son of David. They welcomed him as that one of whom was prophesied. Oh, thy king cometh unto thee, lowly, and rideth upon an ass. Rejoice, O daughter of Zion. Thy king cometh unto thee, lowly, and riding upon an ass. Hosanna in the highest, Hosanna unto the Son of David. And yet, friends, where were they within a week? Before Pilate shouting, crucify him, crucify him. Crucify him, crucify him. Oh, friends, his own brethren who had said, we will go with thee unto death. Fear not so, Lord, we will go with thee unto death. And yet they all forsook him and fled. Ah, friends, here is another source of his sorrows. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. This is a contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your mind. Oh, the contradictions of sinners against himself. On the one hand they received him, on the other hand they rejected him. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Oh, as Jerusalem has to say in our text, behold and see if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow, which is done unto me, wherewith the Lord hath afflicted me in the day of his fierce anger. O Jerusalem, here is thy own king, brought into a lower place than you, despised and rejected of men, left alone, no man to comfort him, no man to save, no. Oh, his disciples slept. Can you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. Oh, but they slept again. He had to go alone. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Oh, here is one in greater sorrow. The Lord of heaven and earth, brought to earth, made flesh, humbled, oh, humiliated, that he might be our sin bearer. Brought to that place where he was the creator of the universe, had to say, the birds of the air have nests, the foxes have holes, the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. But then, friends, as we come, oh, to that moment when he must enter into the fullness of what we have before us in our text, wherewith the Lord hath afflicted me in the day of his fierce anger. He was sent into this world to bear the sins of his people. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. He was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Oh, as we try to consider those words, who passeth by the transgressions, the remnant of his heritage. Oh, God bearing the sins of his people. That's a mystery. That our sin bearer should be a divine sin bearer, that God himself should come into this world, the Lord of life and glory, to bear the sins of his people. And as he became our sin bearer, he who knew no sin, oh, as he was made sin for us, as our sins were laid upon him, as he became sin, the just wrath of his Father poured out upon him. Oh, wherewith the Lord hath afflicted me in the day of his fierce anger. These, friends, must be the depth of his sorrow, as the sin bearer, feels the force of the pouring out of his Father's anger upon him. But that day began, friends. Oh, it began once more with the contradiction of sinners against himself. Oh, our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, the one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. He was humiliated in every one of his offices. Oh, they brought him before him. They dressed him in purple robe and plaited a crown of thorns upon his head. Oh, they mocked him. They said that he called himself the King of the Jews. They hated the superscription that Pilate put over the cross, the King of the Jews. They said, change it, that it might say, he calleth himself the King of the Jews. Oh, Pilate said, what I've written, I've written. They mocked him in his kingship. They owned him not as king. They received him not as Lord. They spat at him. They blindfolded him. They hit him. They called him to prophesy and to say who had hit him, who had smote him. Oh, they mocked him in his prophetic office as he was calm, full of truth and grace. Oh, to set before us the Father's way of salvation, what gracious words he spake as our prophet. Oh, as he preached the gospel unto sinners, come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Oh, but they mocked him in his prophetic office. They mocked his preaching. They would not hear him. These are hard words. Who can hear them? They turned their back on him, and they would hear him no more. From that time, many went back and followed him no more. These are hard sayings, and who can hear them? Oh, they would not receive him as the word of life. The words which he spake, they were not life unto them. Oh, they were those separating words that savoured of the things of death unto death. And then, friends, they mocked his priestly office as he is found upon the cross. And they called out to him, and they say, he saved others. Let him save himself. Oh, as he stood, the saviour of sinners, the priest, offering himself, oh, who bare our sins in his own body upon the tree, who through the eternal spirit offered himself a sacrifice without sin unto God. And yet sinners, they mocked him. Oh, they esteemed him not, they despised him. They hid their faces from him, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. But nothing, friends, approached unto this. That which is done unto me, wherewith the Lord hath afflicted me in the day of his fierce anger. Oh, all that men could throw against him, all the contradiction of sinners against himself. Oh, friends, the fact that he had nowhere to lay his head. The fact that he was born a babe in the manger of Bethlehem. The fact that he was a friend of publicans and sinners. The fact that he was mistreated by men. That he was despised by men. They did not even condescend to do what was regarded as good manners in society. Oh, when he came into Simon's house, he gave him no water to wash his feet as the custom was. They treated him as an outcast, as a vile one, as one that they wanted nothing to do with. Oh, friends, if we ever see the fullness of this, they drew near to him with their lips. Their hearts were afar off. Oh, friends, they spake unto him fluttering words. But all of those sorrows were nothing compared with that moment when he stood a sin-bearer before his Father. The sins of his people being laid upon him. And he felt all the anger of God. The anger, the righteous anger of deity against sin in his holy soul. His soul was poured out unto death and he cried in great anguish, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Oh, friends, the skies were darkened. The skies were darkened. The earth shook. Sinners trembled before the terrible sight. Oh, friends, some were hardened. Yes, some were hardened. The thieves on either side, they railed against him. They cast it in his teeth. Some were hardened before God's wrath. And all friends, under the judgment of God now, solemn thing, if sinners are hardened. Oh, but we know there were those that were also graciously softened. Oh, as they were brought to see the wrath of God being poured out upon the head of Jesus Christ. Oh, the innocent, the spotless and the pure. As that dying thief was brought to say, we indeed justly, but this man, oh, this man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, he has done nothing amiss. He has done nothing amiss. Oh, you see, friends, as Jesus Christ stood our sin bearer, he stood our vicarious sin bearer, he stood in our place. That's what vicarious death means. That's what the word vicar means in common usage. One that stands in your place. One that stands in your place. Offers on behalf of the people. And as Jesus Christ stood there, he died a vicarious death. He did not die for himself. Oh, as Daniel so beautifully puts it in prophecy, that in the midst of the week, Messiah should be cut off. But not for himself. There was no cause in him why he should die. No cause in him that the Father should pour out his anger upon him. In him the Father never saw the least transgression of his law. Of him it could always be said, holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. But he was made sin for us who knew no sin. Oh, friends, he was never a sinner. He never bore personal sin. Therefore the anger of God was not poured out against him personally, but it was poured out upon him as he was our sin bearer, as he was made sin for us, as he stood in our place, our substitute, to bear the punishment due unto our sins. Oh, he knew the pouring out of the Lord's fierce anger in that day. Darkness filled his holy soul. Oh, he experienced the withdrawing, the hiding of his Father's face, withdrawing of that experience of his love. Though, friends, I believe there was never a moment when the Father would have said more loudly, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Why? Because in that moment, oh, he was seen in the height of his obedience. Though a son, yet learned the obedience. He became obedient unto death, even to the death of the cross. And let's, friends, not forget the death of the cross, a cursed death. Cursed is every man that hangeth upon a tree. But here is Jesus Christ lifted up high upon a tree. Oh, friends, made a curse for us. Made a curse for us. He was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Why was he there, friends? Why was he a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief? Why did the Lord of glory come into this earth, humble himself, make himself of no reputation? Why was he found hanging between two thieves upon a cross? Oh, to this end, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Oh, that we through him might receive the pardon of our sins, that we might receive comfort in our sorrows. That was why, friends. That was why. And oh, friends, the power in his sorrows is seen in this. Although he had to come into that low place, in his death, he had that grave of which we read here in Isaiah 53. He made his grave with the wicked, with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Friends, he had to come into the same place as every sinner on this earth would have to come to be laid in the grave. Oh, the fullness of the fierce anger of the Lord that was laid upon him. The Lord of life experienced death. And he was laid in a grave. Yes, friends, a precious grave, a virgin grave, where never a body had been laid, no taint of corruption there. Oh, the fullness of the promise might be fulfilled, that he rested in hope. For thou wilt not leave my soul to lie in hell, nor suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. But nevertheless, friends, he was brought to that same place as every sinner is brought to be laid in the grave. The rich cannot escape it. Doesn't matter what you have been in society, what you have done in your life, or all who are found with sin upon them are brought to that place. But oh, friends, he came to that place, bearing the sorrows of his people. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. But he rose again. On the third day he rose again triumphant. Death could not hold him. The grave could not hold him. Oh, the heavy stone was no bar to him. Why? He rose triumphant. Because, oh, as the anger of God had been poured out upon him, he took that cup, he drank it right up. Ah, oh, friends, every demand of the holy law of God was met. Every last penny was paid until there was nothing to pay. And in that moment he cried, "It is finished. It is finished. Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit." And he gave up the ghost. Oh, friends, he fulfilled what he had told them when he was here upon this earth. "I lay down my life. I take it again. My life no man taketh from me." Oh, he made himself an offering for sin. He freely gave himself an offering for sin. Oh, he bore our sorrows, bore our griefs and carried our sorrows. There he carried our sins and he carried them away. Oh, he carried them away. There, friends, is found the full remission of the law. Payment God cannot twice demand. Once at my bleeding surety's hands, and then again at mine. Oh, through that precious cross is preached full and free forgiveness to the vilest sinner out of hell that lives to fear his need. Oh, they're welcome to the throne of grace, the Saviour's blood. Oh, the Saviour's carrying of their griefs and sorrows to plead. And, friends, in that precious carrying, oh, as Jesus Christ rose from the dead, he declares, oh, the permanence, the fullness, the greatness of that salvation. Ah, friends, his grief-bearing, his carrying of our sorrows is magnified in this, and he rose again, triumphant from the grave. He left his sorrows behind. He left his sorrows behind. Well, as we come to our text this morning, oh, Zion may sit peevish and say, "Behold, and see if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow, which is done unto me, wherewith the Lord hath afflicted me in the day of his fierce anger." Oh, the apostle says, consider him. Consider him. Consider him in this aspect. Firstly, we indeed justly, but this man hath done nothing amiss. We indeed justly, because of our sins. Because of our sins he hath afflicted us. Oh, friends, because we have backslidden from him. Oh, we have left our first love because of the coldness of heart, because of the ways of this world have had influence over us, because we've led a lightness and a falling away into Zion, because we've loved smooth preaching rather than that close preaching of the word of God, because the servants of the Lord have failed to preach the whole counsel of God, myself among them. Friends, we indeed justly. We indeed justly. However great our sorrows may be this morning, we indeed justly. Oh, we cannot charge God with unrighteousness. If we're feeling his anger and his rod at this time, he is just. He is just in all his dealings with us. We indeed justly. Oh, but this man hath done nothing amiss. This man hath done nothing amiss. His sorrows much greater than ours, and yet this man hath done nothing amiss. Oh, but friends, that should bring us in the second place to consider this. Oh, to consider him who suffered such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your mind. Oh, was ever sorrow like your sorrow? Yes, more than your sorrow. Oh, here is a great one who has stood in the room and place of his people and borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Oh, friends, the blessing is this, as he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, we are most, though do but taste the cup, but he has drunk it quite up. Oh, though he try us, though he cause grief, yet will he have compassion. Oh, friends, on what grounds will the Lord have compassion upon his people under the rod upon these grounds? Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Payment God cannot twice demand. Oh, friends, that is why the lash he steeped is on us laid and softened in his blood. Why? The price has been paid. Oh, God is not punishing us in his anger. Not in anger, but in his dear covenant love. No longer the vindictive anger of his justice against us as sinners. Oh, friends, no longer to this end, to cut us off forever and to cast us into the blackness of darkness forever. But no. Oh, friends, if his rod is upon us as morning, it is in love to correct. It is in mercy that the wandering one may be brought back. It is in love perverse and foolish, off we stray, and yet in love he seeks us. And sometimes has to seek us with the rod, with the crook, to bring us back. And on what ground? Oh, because there is one that has tasted sorrow and suffering beyond what we can ever comprehend for us. Ah, friends, he has drunk the cup right up. We at most do but taste it. Consider him. Consider him who suffered such contradiction of sinners against your himself. And oh, friends, we amongst them. We amongst them. Oh, if we have any hope this morning that we are in this hour, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Oh, if faith can get a place in those little words, our, we. Oh, if we can see him stand in our room place instead, then, friends, oh, he bore the our contradiction against himself. Sins against the holy God. Sins against light and knowledge. Sins in the face of his mercy. Contradictions against himself. And he has borne them. Borne the punishment due unto them. Oh, drunk the cup quite up. Borne them away at Calvary. To what end? Oh, that at last we might enter into that place of peace and comfort, that when our warfare is brought to an end through him who has gotten us a victory, then we shall rejoice in that place where there is no light. And this great comforter shall wipe all tears from off our faces. Comfort ye, my people. Say unto her, speak comfortably unto her. Say unto her that her warfare is accomplished. Oh, friends, that is a comfort that is found for the Lord's people this morning. Our warfare is accomplished through him who gave himself for us, who has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Oh, friends, we do it. But taste the cup, but he has borne it fully away. Borne all the punishment that was due unto us. All the righteous charges that the law could throw at us. Borne away by Jesus Christ at Calvary. Oh, consider him. Be not weary, friends. Oh, don't let yourself become peevish this morning under the righteous judgment of God. Oh, but as we have to sit under it, may we be enabled to see Jesus. May we be enabled to see Jesus. Oh, friends, he's the reason why we are brought into that relationship of sons. Why, father-like, he tends and spares us. Well, our feeble frame he knows. It's the grounds of him bearing us gently in his arms. Oh, friends, it's the grounds of him visiting our iniquities with the rod, chastising us as a father. Oh, the grounds that bring us into union with him, Jesus Christ, who has made them that were afar off, brought them nigh. Made those of us, of whom it was said, at enmity with God, yet now made, at peace with him, made one through the precious blood of Jesus, peace, by his cross as Jesus made the church's everlasting head. Oh, friends, this is the very ground of why the Lord hath mercy upon his people and why he chastises us in his love, the blood of Jesus Christ. And therefore may we not become peevish and say and see if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow which is done unto me, wherewith the Lord hath afflicted me in the day of his fierce anger. But may we see him. May we see him who has borne the fullness of the cup. Ah, friends, if the anger of God had been poured out upon us as justly it may, well, should we have been in hell? Oh, his righteous law approves it well. But Jesus Christ has stood there in between. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, that we might find in him comfort and consolation. Oh, friends, this is the answer to the one that sits in our text this morning and says, is there nothing to you, all ye that pass by? Behold and see if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow, which is done unto me, wherewith the Lord hath afflicted me in the day of his fierce anger. Yes, here is one. Oh, sorrows upon sorrows. Beyond whatever you will ever have to know, because he has drunk up the cup for you. Oh, he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. That he might be our comforter. That he might be our peace. Oh, consider him. Behold him this morning, the Lamb of God. appointed by God to stand in the place of sinners. But then, friends, I may take up the words here and say, oh, I say nothing to you, all you that pass by. Oh, as we've tried this morning to consider a little of this one, a man of sorrows and acquainted with griefs. Oh, the source of his sorrows and his griefs. Is it nothing to you that he was rejected, despised? Is it nothing to you? Oh, as we see him upon the cross by faith crying, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? What a solemn thing. If we should be brought face to face this morning, oh, with a suffering Saviour, and it have no effect upon us. Friends, there were those, one suffering right by him upon the cross, whom it had no effect. Oh, it only hardened. According to the solemnity of the sovereignty of God, he will have mercy upon whom he will have mercy, and whom he will he harden. But oh, that we might be found amongst those who plead that the Lord would soften our hearts this morning. Oh, that under his rod he might bring us to beg, to plead for mercy, and that we might obtain mercy. Oh, in those precious streams of blood which once ran from the crucified Saviour, the man of sorrows and acquainted with griefs, who gave himself on behalf of his people an offering for sin. Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? Well, friends, may the Lord bless these things to us at the, in our present state. I'm certain of this. There's only one thing that will help us in every state and condition, and that is the preaching of Jesus Christ and him crucified. And, friends, if the church don't need nothing else at the moment, this is what we need. Oh, to hear again the old gospel, the blessed gospel, Jesus Christ and him crucified, one who has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, and be brought to realise we taste the cup, but he has drunk it quite up. And friends, if we are brought there this morning, oh, may we be brought there to worship, to adore, and may we be brought there with renewed commitment. Oh, friends, renewed desire. Lord, to whom else can we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Oh, that we might be found leaving all and following him, for if we love him, we should keep his commandments. Oh, is it nothing to you? Do you love him? Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? Behold, and see if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow, which is done unto me, wherewith the Lord hath afflicted me in the day of his fierce anger. Amen.